joined today by Marcus Muir, is the Kenai Peninsula Borough's land manager. Good morning, Marcus.
Good morning, Chaelin.
Good to have you with us. And Heidi Che is also with us in the studio this morning, district manager at the Kenai Soil and Water Conservation District. Heidi, good to see you again.
Good morning.
And thank you both again so much for being here. Maybe by the introductions, you can tell that today's topic is going to be pretty focused on agriculture locally, and I think probably as we get throughout the hour here on the Kenai Conversation this morning, we'll be examining some broader statewide issues and some of the budgetary concerns that that are being considered as we think about how to develop an agriculture industry here on the Kenai Peninsula, or I should say further develop an agriculture industry here on the Kenai Peninsula. Of course, if you have questions, comments, thoughts about that industry here on the Kenai, would love to hear from you this morning. 283-8414 is the number. Again, 283-8414. And what got me started in wanting to have a conversation about ag just right at this moment in time is a new initiative from the borough. And I guess we'll start there, Marcus, with the Kenai Peninsula Borough's new agricultural initiative and pilot project. And if you could just kind of give us the a once over of what that is and what you're hoping to do.
Great. Thank you, Chaelin.
And pull that mic right up close. Yeah.
I'm going to pull this mic right up close. I'm really excited to be having this conversation with you both here this morning and to our listeners. So I've been with the Kenai Peninsula Borough for 15 years now and came in, been on the peninsula, working in land management. I think everybody's probably familiar with borough lands to some extent, whether it's places like the Central Peninsula Landfill or your local schools and fire stations. And also, we have lots of neighbors. There's borough lands that are mixed throughout our landscape. People are neighbors to borough lands all over the place. And so that's what I work with is general borough lands. And some of those lands are occupied by existing uses, and some of them are just open public lands. And within that, we have all different land uses that we consider, and we look at the resources that are on those lands, be it forest lands and wetlands, and we look at the soils that underlie those landscapes, and we think about how can those soils best be used. And part of that is in agriculture. We see that there's a lot of interest in agriculture locally, nationally. There always has been, and we expect that there will be in the future. There's a lot of things that are emerging in agriculture on the Kenai Peninsula, things that catch our attention. We hear new words come up that are new in our vocabulary, words like rhodiola. Peonies was a new one to me not that many years ago. I guess I wasn't paying attention but before that. But to see what's coming out of the term peonies on the Kenai Peninsula has been really exciting. And so people are out there doing things and really kind of showing us what the potential is on our landscapes. So from that, the borough has lands that are designated in certain ways, a lot of lands that aren't designated at all. But we have a sample supply of lands that are designated for agriculture. That just happened in 2017 that some lands were nominated for agricultural use and designated as such. And then the question came back, well, how can we manage those for long-term agricultural use? And so from that, we've been working on what we're terming the Kenai Peninsula Agricultural Initiative and pilot project, the pilot project being that first sample of lands.
And you're looking for solicitations, ideas from residents about, I would like to do this sort of an operation here, and here's my plan. Is that sort of what we're looking for?
That's entirely the case. Because when it comes down to it, the Kenai Peninsula Borough is a landowner with these lands that have ag potential, but the borough is in no way going to be the operator. So agriculture is done by the producer, and it's the farmer that does the work. It's the farmer that has to make the critical decisions about what types of things they might want to plant, how they might want to manage those plants, the scale and scope, all kinds of business decisions. And so within this, really what I'm looking at is just to provide a framework that allows for operators to come in and maybe have a buffet of lands that they can look at the possibility of making management decisions on.
Ballpark, about how much of the Kenai Peninsula Borough's lands is devoted to agricultural production?
So
do we have a number for that? That's a tough one. It's kind of a tough number to track down when you think about it. When we think about all the operations that could easily qualify but take up, you know, a quarter of an acre, how do you add all those up?
If you're talking about not just borough-owned land, mm-hmm. but land in the Kenai Peninsula borough.
Right, yeah.
Let's come back to that. There is an census of agriculture conducted every 5 years. We'll have new data coming out very soon, like within the next couple of weeks.
Oh, cool.
That covers the period 2012 to 2017. But we could look back at the 2012 numbers and give you an idea of how many acres we think are in farms on the Kenai Peninsula borough.
And what was that number, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, let's come back to that because I don't have it off the top of my head.
Well, maybe a question to ask, a follow-up would be, what would you anticipate as someone who pays a lot of attention to these trends, Heidi, what would you anticipate coming out of that report in terms of growth? I mean, we're going to see, do you suppose, a lot of growth between those years, 2012 to 2017?
It does seem like there's been very steady growth during that period. Now, back to the number of, you know, the number of acres and the scale that Marcus is talking about in the Borough Ag Initiative, that's very clear. You've got those numbers, Marcus.
Yeah, in terms of size and scope and scale.
Certainly. So what the Kenai Peninsula Borough is working with right now, we've got 700 and some acres that are currently within that sample that are designated for agriculture right now today. Those lands are a little bit different in terms of there's some acreage that's down in Coho that's nice and flat and kind of almost like your classic farmland.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some that are down on East End Road in Homer, which are more like your classic rangeland, much more rolly and lands that you wouldn't put a plow through to make an annual crop, but certainly lands that would be valuable for raising animals on.
Mm-hmm.
And so just in there, you can see all of a sudden that this term agriculture has different meanings in different locations to different people.
And I'm glad you pointed that out. I wanted to mention that because this isn't just, you know, setting aside land to grow hay or land for peonies or whatever is sort of a productive and hot new thing. This is for anything, pretty much anything, right? Livestock, you mentioned?
Yeah, so the term agriculture is really, I see it as a loaded word because there's so many things that happen underneath that umbrella. And again, crop selection is really, I think, at the heart of that. The Kenai Peninsula is really kind of uniquely positioned in terms of what it can grow. There are plants that grow really well in the Kenai Peninsula that other places don't grow. And so it's one of those classic Alaska differences. I look at, for instance, the types of plants that if you were going to try to grow, you couldn't really mess it up. Rhubarb comes to mind.
Yeah.
And it's my opinion that the Kenai Peninsula could corner the world market on rhubarb.
Well, and a number of things, you know, you talk about stuff that's sort of grows without a whole lot of tender loving care. I don't know, you know, would hemp qualify for that? Is that something that people are looking at? What are some other things that people are looking at?
Oh my. Well, there certainly is interest in hemp that can't go forward unless we have a functional division of agriculture that can oversee a very tightly controlled pilot program and provide the seed and all of that. And it's going to require, it might grow well here, but it requires some processing and marketing infrastructure, and a lot of thought needs to be given to business sound way of developing that infrastructure. But there's interest for sure.
Yeah.
Last I heard, about 500 people had expressed interest, not just from all over the state, to the Division of Agriculture in a hemp pilot project should it get off the ground.
In talking about an agricultural initiative, that suggests to me that there, you know, we're sort of providing an avenue for some sort of economic development that wasn't necessarily there before, explicitly there before. Are there policy challenges or things that need to happen to really see this thing grow and become robust?
Yeah, and I think at the heart of that is understanding the economics of agriculture. Our land markets, the type of ways in which land's divided and used on the Kenai Peninsula, there's really an assortment. But I think that a lot of the challenge that exists within opening up the landscape for agriculture today is that a really strong presence in the overall land market has to do with the division of land into your classic residential subdivisions and selling those lots for residential use. And there's this thing called the 30-year mortgage that comes in to that. And the 30-year mortgage, the ability to capitalize on that type of land and that type of land use, has a big influence on prevailing values. And when you look at that, when you look at the economics of agriculture, it's really almost the opposite of a 30-year mortgage. A 30-year mortgage has a depreciation schedule for those assets that it's working to fund. Agriculture is about appreciation. Agriculture has an appreciation schedule, and it's about the investment into soils, and it doesn't happen in the same way that dominant force of a 30-year mortgage does it. And so understanding those economics and making commitments towards land use policies that work within that economic frame is, I think, really a big challenge that we have to get through. It's going to happen a lot by having conversations.
And that's a part to me that is pretty fascinating, is this idea of creating policies that, just as you described, Marcus, sort of incentivize a different look at the way we use land. Because as we've seen in other parts of the country that are struggling with how to revitalize their once very productive lands and find new policies to get them sort of back into shape after 100 years of doing things one way, constructing those policies that incentivize that sort of thing, I'm really anxious to see how that works, because that's always evolving and always changing as to what works best and how you're going to get people to sort of behave in a way that does that. And I don't know if any of you, either of you, have any insight into what some of those policies might look like or what shape that framework might take to do just what you suggested, Marcus, to sort of make sure that we're whatever policies are in place are there sort of for the soil first, and then whatever comes out of the soil, we can deal with that later.
Mm-hmm. I heard a young farmer at the Alaska Food Conference a couple of weeks ago. He's in one of the larger farmers in the Fairbanks area and runs a $2 million annual sales farmers market up there, the Tanana Valley Farmers Market.
Great farmers market.
And he's a young farmer, and he's involved with the Young Farmers Coalition, which is a national organization really trying to think through the policy issues of how do we make this transition from an aging farming workforce to getting young people involved in this dynamic industry. And we've got millions of acres of land that need to change hands in the next decade, mm-hmm. from farmers retiring out and young farmers coming in. So how do we make that possible when young farmers, by and large, are well-educated? They have college debt. How are they going to afford health insurance? How are they going to get the capital together to start a farm? And that, you know, that's one of the challenges that we've been talking through here as we consider this initiative here on the Kenai Peninsula. It's expensive when you're starting with raw land. We're in an unusual situation here compared to the lower 48. There are hundreds of years ahead of us as far as the development of agriculture, and so in many cases, starting a farm means taking down trees and very carefully building up some nutrient-rich soil in which you can grow a crop or the livestock on which it feeds. So it's going to take some thought.
And it all begins with these policy decisions. Mm-hmm. Would we agree on that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And in talking about developing these policies, and I should mention again on the Kenai Conversation, we're speaking this morning about agriculture, local ag policy, how to grow this industry a little bit more here on the Kenai Peninsula. Marcus Mueller joining us this morning. He's the land manager for the Kenai Peninsula Borough. Heidi Che also with us, district manager for the Kenai Soil and Water Conservation District. 283-8414 is the number if you'd like to jump into the conversation today. Again, 283-8414. Are there specific, we were talking before the show that one avenue to help develop these policies will be in putting together a task force. And I'm sure that already before any pens are put to paper in terms of official policy that anyone will have to act on, you two probably have thousands of ideas coming into you from folks who are out there with, you know, shovels in the ground and actually doing the work. I'm sure that there's no shortage of ideas of how this should all take shape.
I would jump in there and say, yeah, there thousands is a generous number, but yes, if we wanted to create an environment that's really friendly for the development of agriculture, which has all these, you know, which has lots of benefits. We haven't really talked about that. Why do we want agriculture here, right?
Yes.
And it isn't just for diversifying the economy, although that's great. It's meaningful work. It's a meaningful place for young people to learn new job skills. It's creating export markets that do diversify the economy. And it's creating vibrant gathering places in the form of farmers markets, and that's benefiting the food bank, for instance. And it's creating much fresher, more nutritious food for all of us if we can grow it close to home. So, but policy-wise, you know, thinking what's within the scope of the borough, things like how we value and tax ag land. Do we value and tax all land the same? Do we always sell it to the highest bidder? What happens when you sell it to the highest bidder is you get a race to turn to develop everything into house lots and we're seeing that in the Mat-Su Valley. There's great concern there about very rapid loss of valuable ag lands that have been developed over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And we're missing some fundamental understanding of the value of that land when we just say we're going to sell it to the highest bidder.
Because that gets to precisely what you were talking about, Marcus, this idea that we're in a certain system, in a certain sort of train of thought, the idea is to maximize the value out of the land rather than maximize the value that the land can produce, which mm-hmm. is maybe a subtle difference, and maybe you could argue it's a little bit semantic, but there is a difference there.
There's a very big difference, and as a land manager, looking across our landscape and looking at what our land has to offer and how we're making decisions about that, I've been really surprised by how little production we have that comes from our land on the Kenai Peninsula. We have oil and gas figured out, we have fish figured out, but on the land from our soils, and our soils are productive. We have an amazing ability to grow and produce new things. And that making that decision, making that investment in there, of course, as I mentioned earlier, it's all going to be centered on the folks that want to do that work and want to develop their skills and develop their own abilities and their own systems, their own infrastructure to make that production happen. But right alongside of that, how can we as land managers or we as local government or state government provide policies that can host that decision-making framework that happens at that individual, at that producer level?
Mm-hmm. You know, in talking about all these things and trying to grow this industry, as we say, even more, I'm curious about sort of compatibility. You mentioned having oil and gas figured out and fishing figured out sort of insofar as we could figure those things out. But in terms of compatibility, you know, what figuring that out is going to be a challenge too, because you don't really want a clear-cut hayfield right next to a salmon stream, I wouldn't imagine. But, you know, how do you make those determinations? That has to be part of this process too, right?
Yeah, I think that's definitely looking at the big picture, and it's very clear that we should not be trading one very valuable local food resource and industry like fishing for producing local food on farms. But we have a lot of expertise here on the Kenai Peninsula about what's necessary to sustain our healthy salmon streams, and that means we need to think carefully about where our small-scale intensive farms happen, and we're not going to ever have large scale hundreds of acres, let alone 1,000-acre farms mm-hmm. here on the Kenai Peninsula. The economic model that's emerging is of small scale intensive, and by small scale I mean 5 acres and less. And I've seen successful farms on 2 acres and less that are providing a full-time year-round income for two people and employing additional workers during the growing season. That can be done. That's the model that many, and I'm seeing even more startups in that are looking to carry out that model. So, as far as compatibility, going back to fish and agriculture, mm-hmm. I think we've got the expertise and the history and the values on this peninsula that we're going to do agriculture. We are doing it in such a way that's good for fish, and that we will be continuing to do that in the future.
And that sound means we've got a caller on the line. Let's go there right now. Good morning. You're on The Conversation. Who's this?
This is Steve Dahl.
Morning, Steve.
How are you this fine sunny day here in the world for a change?
Doing just well. Do you have a question for us?
Yes. I understand all too well the difficulties of getting ground ready, clearing it, not ruining it, composting, etc., so you can grow. But what about the marketing? We don't have much of a marketing situation down here to support all the small farms that we do have. There's no co-ops. There's no real transportation for food getting around at all. I mean, Homer's lucky in a way because they're in the middle of a food desert. You know, if it's Safeway is all you got and Save You More is all you got, beyond that, it's the farm market and it's huge. Up here, you've got 16 different choices plus the farmers. And unless there's a big storm in the Gulf to keep the barges from going through, they're always going to have cheap food. We've got to be able to get out with the food that we produce.
Very good, and thanks for that call, Steve. And I'm glad you brought that up, the marketing aspect and some of the other things that are attached to kind of growing an industry like this. And that gets us, I guess this is as good a time as any to kind of shift into things that we're seeing with the state budget proposal. You know, I know that Alaska Grown is a marketing campaign that we're all probably fairly familiar with, and that might be subject to some budgetary choices, but... But as Steve was saying, you know, there are a lot of other things that have to go into this, but aside from the simple basic policy of finding out where's the best place to grow stuff and do agricultural activity, transportation, marketing, where do those things come from? Yeah.
So we don't have Steve on the line any longer.
Are you with us, Steve?
Yeah, I'm still
here. He's still there. Yeah, so Steve and I know each other well, and he's not making an argument against agriculture here
right.
on the Central Peninsula. What he's saying is we have an immature market and still a lot of work to do to create this environment where small farms can thrive. So,
absolutely correct.
Yeah. And you know, how do we do that? Do you have a suggestion, a specific suggestion, Steve? Like, we're building more cooperation amongst farmers, right?
Yeah, we need to build more cooperation. We've got to figure out more thoroughly how to herd the cats together.
Right.
And the beginnings of some cooperative operations are in the works.
Yes. So that's an opportunity for me to say, at Kenai Soil and Water Conservation District, we've heard this from our member cooperators and the people that we interact with in the community. And we've tried to shepherd along and create the environment for more collaboration and cooperation. And one thing that we've done in cooperation with Kenai Local Food Connection is host a monthly informal coffee. We've been doing these most recently at Odie's, just where people can get together from however they are connected to food and farming, get together and share information and ideas and explore new partnerships. And Steve and I have both been involved in facilitating conversations amongst a small group of folks who are growing root crops in particular. Mm-hmm. And Soil and Water Conservation District has recently acquired some 3 pieces of equipment that will really help us scale up small root crop production. You know, we've got a single row potato planter and harvester and washer. And so hoping to scale that up. So more cooperation, cooperatives, Yes, that's one of the strategies.
One of many strategies. Steve, yeah. Thanks so much for the call.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too. And, you know, I'm glad you brought up some of the other things that the Soil and Water Conservation District is doing, because those are things not just I'll give you an opportunity for a little plug here. It's not just getting stuff out of the ground. There are some value-added things, too. I know that there's the mobile food vending trailer that's available. Tell us a little bit about some of those programs.
Oh, just really quickly, the Soil and Water Conservation District over the years has acquired a small fleet of equipment that we rent that would ordinarily be out of economic reach of small farmers. But by pooling our resources and renting this out affordably, you know, making it available to more people, and that equipment is we partner with Kenai Feed to make that available to the community. And one of the items is a 12-foot mobile kitchen trailer. And when that was acquired, it was with the idea that a farmer could rent that, take it to their farm, have a DEC-approved kitchen for processing their product. And it's still available for that purpose. And we've also made it available to incubate small food businesses, food trucks, that use locally grown products. So last summer, you might have seen Joe's Meatballs all around. And he was using every locally made, locally grown product that he could possibly use on his menu, and incubated a successful new business, which we will see. I know we will see it going forward. Mm-hmm. They're close to having a year-round store. So that's very exciting.
And that concept is very interesting. The idea is pretty recognizable of, you know, directly farm to restaurant. But restaurant to farm is an interesting spin on that a little bit. Yeah.
Right.
Talking about agriculture here on the Kenai Peninsula on the Kenai Conversation this morning, Heidi Che with us. She's the district manager for the Kenai Soil and Water Conservation District. Also with us is Marcus Mueller, the Kenai Peninsula Borough Land Manager. Been talking about a new agriculture initiative coming out of the borough and some of the policy discussions there. And you have something on your mind, Marcus.
I'm just really enjoying this conversation and to hear what Steve brought out and Heidi kind of responding, bringing a little bit of this wider perspective in terms of what's involved in agriculture. And one of those items being this idea of human-based infrastructure, people talking to people, which is really where we're going to see the greatest emergence of the potential that we have for agriculture is by people working together. And a big reason why that is because when you look at the agricultural operation, it is cradle to the grave. Somebody that dives into ag has to go through and do a business plan. They have to identify what their supplies are of land, of equipment. As Heidi mentioned, having equipment supplies and we don't have a lot of implement shops around here. And so what's that fleet of equipment that's already existing and what needs to come up here? There's this bottomless list of decisions that have to be made on the front end just to get it set up that are all prior to production. And now that you have a product out of that, as Steve mentioned, marketing. If you're going to produce something, you have to have a market. And so this business person that had to establish the business has to grow and then market that product. And our marketing infrastructure is just at its infancy. So all of these layers. And what's really exciting to me about that is all the community that happens around that. The agricultural community that's emerging on the Kenai Peninsula is really exciting. And it's that human infrastructure.
It is a friendly community of people who care about farming here, and I think we're developing the reputation of farms that help each other out and work together in a neighborly fashion and build each other up. Because we're gonna all do better working together than otherwise.
As Steve suggested, building up that idea of cooperation and expanding on that, and the opportunity, and we were talking about this a bit before the show, is this idea of, you mentioned certain, you know, some of these ideas being in their infancy here in Alaska, and we're measuring that against very developed industries and markets in the lower 48. But I see this as an opportunity to ask the question, how can Alaska do it differently and avoid some of the things that have become long-term issues that are now being dealt with in the lower 48? How can we avoid some of those? And just I'll just open that up broadly for your thoughts. How can Alaska do this differently? What are some of those opportunities?
So I think some key ingredients to that have to do with, one, what are our values? And we can quickly recognize that on the Kenai Peninsula, we have a lot of values that are also strengths. Our recognition of the importance of fisheries and keeping those fish systems really intact and having good integrity, not having any way in which we would ever want to diminish the ability of our fisheries to continue forward in the most robust fashion possible, which brings us into understanding our watersheds and making sure that we know where we're at when our watersheds, making decisions based on those kinds of principles. And then beyond that, looking at what our other values are, our community values and our strengths and the quality of life issues that we want to have. When we're making decisions based on the type of lifestyle, the type of environment, the type of community that we want to have, and couple that with what are our opportunities, again, what can our soil handle? What can our climate produce? What are people interested in? What are the local restaurants asking for to be produced? What are people buying? How can we develop our farmers markets into great opportunities for people to come and get healthy ingredients and have other social benefits and other economic benefits around that? I think that there's just really a whole lot of ways in which we can approach that and come out with a really good and unique, different for us, different in a way that's right for our area, agricultural programs.
Another way that we're doing it differently, and we've already alluded to this, is scale. Some Alaskans are stuck in the 1980s mentality of agriculture is a failure because we did these massive projects like the Delta Barley Project, that was a very large project up in Delta, tens of thousands of acres cleared very quickly based on a faulty market study in an export market to Asia for animal feed that never materialized.
Right.
Today, we're connecting the economic loop within the state so that those Delta barley farmers are growing barley that we bring down here. We grow our own animal food. Plus, we can buy barley at the store, and it's wonderful, nutritious human food. And we're closing the loop, and we're meeting our needs in state. And so, if we look at Alaska agriculture, and you look across the country, we have the highest rate of farms selling direct to customer, direct sales, and that holds a lot of potential. The dynamic, successful farms that I'm seeing here right on the Kenai Peninsula that I mentioned are 5 acres or so, are selling direct to their customer. They are diverse. They're not only producing a product, they're hosting events. They have the ag yurt so that somebody can come and do the farm tourism stay on their farm while they're busily growing their product. They're doing value added. They're producing wine. They're producing jams and jellies and vinegars. They're putting this rich package of products together. And that's a different kind of agriculture than where you and I came from.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it begins to represent more of almost kind of a lifestyle thing that you can sort of say, here's how we do it. Mm-hmm. And it's something much, much different and unique in that way. Again, join with us this morning on the Kenai Conversation. Heidi Che is with us, District Manager at the Kenai Soil and Water Conservation District. Marcus Mueller also with us this morning. He's the Land Manager for the Kenai Peninsula Borough, talking all about local agriculture and some statewide things, too, because, hey, we're not just here by ourselves. 283-8414 is the number if you'd like to jump in on the conversation this morning. Again, 283-8414. 8414. And we mentioned it briefly a few minutes ago in talking about how to expand some marketing opportunities and those sorts of things. But I did want to get into some budget considerations. You know, so much talk about the state budget going on right now, and some cuts have been proposed, as you might well expect, to Department of Natural Resources and other areas that would impact agriculture. And Heidi, I'm wondering if you could maybe give us a rundown of maybe some things that you've noticed that potentially could be impacted by the state budget, and what that might potentially mean for agriculture. I'm thinking about things like stuff we see in the headlines, you know, the dairy inspections is something that jumps out to me.
Right. That's the dairy inspection program is one thing that was cut from the governor's proposed budget.
Right.
So the last operating commercial dairy that we have would not, no longer be able to sell milk in the grocery stores if that took place. The other things that we would be losing would be about 2/3 of the staff of the Division of Agriculture. This is a division, a tiny sliver of the Department of Natural Resources that is mostly devoted to oil, gas, and mining. Less than 3% of that has gone to the investment in the natural resource that is our soils and that produce agricultural products.
Mm-hmm.
So we've already lost, that's been steadily cut. 5 years, we're half of what we were 5 years ago, and now we're looking at other very, like another 60% cut of what's left.
Right.
So what that does is it eliminates the Alaska Grown Marketing Program, which is the second oldest in the country of a state-run marketing program. And really does a lot to raise awareness of Alaska-grown products and has opened a lot of doors to getting Alaska-grown products into schools, into institutions like the prisons, and into grocery stores. We're seeing that more and more just in the last couple of years. We would also be losing the channel that enables us to bring in federal research dollars. For people who aren't familiar, the research and development that in the agricultural industry happens on research farms. And we used to have a federal research farm in Alaska. We lost that not too long ago. The university research capacity has been steadily whittled away to almost nothing. So the agricultural research to figure out the crops that work and varieties that, not just new crops, but varieties of apples and asparagus and potatoes and et cetera that work for our rapidly changing climate is happening almost exclusively at the Alaska Plant Materials Center, which is the research farm of the Division of Agriculture. And they're talking about losing most of their staff there. If I understand the governor's budget summary, he would maintain the operation that grows the seed potatoes for our potato industry. That's nice. But another thing that we would lose would be the inspection capacity. We have something called phytosanitary inspections. For a peony grower, and we haven't talked about the scope of the peony industry, but that's a rapidly growing mm-hmm. industry with export, huge export potential to the lower 48 and around the world. For a peony grower to export their flowers to California, which is a country in its own right, practically size-wise,
right,
and anywhere else in the world, they need a phytosanitary inspection certificate from a state Department of Agriculture that says their peonies are free of pests. And so, if that capacity were to disappear, then you've put the brakes on a rapidly growing industry, which would mm-hmm. be very unfortunate.
And I know that there are other things. Cooperation was a word that popped out, and I wonder if you know, we know that the university system has been proposed to be cut a little bit, but they offer the Cooperative Extension Service, which how would you sort of describe its role on the Kenai Peninsula in terms of agriculture?
Well, statewide, our University of Alaska Fairbanks is a land grant university, and Marcus, you probably know more about land grant universities than I do, but to get this federal land grant, the whole concept is you use that land and you provide, you have to provide a certain amount of cooperative extension outreach, does the research and then shares the research evidence-based information about all sorts of things to the public. Its role is to get good quality information out to the out of the university into the hands of the general public. So if you went into our cooperative extension office here on K Beach Road, you can find all sorts of information about every aspect of growing food, preserving food, taking care of your forest, watching out for pests, many aspects of home economics, household budgeting, you know, money management, all sorts of things. It really is in many respects a one-stop information shop for the household and the farm.
If you go into the extension office mm-hmm. here in Soldotna on K Beach Road, there really is a wall of pamphlets
There's
covering
mm-hmm.
of everything you could imagine how to get a little bit of knowledge about it and in depth and very approachable too.
Very approachable. And they also house the 4-H Youth Development program, which has helped a lot, thousands of healthy kids grow and thrive here on the Kenai Peninsula. So that's a valuable program. So the cooperative extension, of course, would be subject then to this very large cut to the university system. And we've seen many successive years of cuts. So our own office has thankfully remained open while other cooperative extension offices across the state have closed and consolidated. But what's happened is our staff here at the local office has carried more and more and more statewide administrative responsibilities, which means less capacity to just offer that one-on-one assistance that's so valuable.
Right. Again, joined on the Kenai Conversation this morning with Heidi Che from the Kenai Soil and Water Conservation District and Marcus Mueller from the Kenai Peninsula Borough. 283-8414 is the number if you'd like to get in on the conversation this morning. Again, 283-8414, talking all about agriculture here on the Kenai Peninsula. We talked a little bit earlier about the idea of new farmers getting into the industry and some of the barriers to access there are and how to sort of lower some of those barriers to access. I wanted to talk about that a little bit because we hear that in a lot of industries, the sort of passing of the torch from one generation to the next is not always the easiest thing. Sometimes there are a lot of challenges for various reasons, and we see that in the fishing industry, see that in farming. I guess in terms of getting youth involved, what role does that play in policy development?
Well, it's certainly in a lot of conversations that I've had about agriculture, people look to young folks as being a real big focus point. With really open questions about how do we recruit new farmers? How do we recruit new fishermen? How do we provide them with the platform that they need in order to step into it and be successful and experience all the ins and outs and intricacies of each of those operations? So we end up with there's not just one answer, but it's a multi-pronged effort that has to be there. And I think that it's one that has to happen by way of a real effort at a community level. And so it's probably a little bit of local policy and having folks that are experienced that can reach out or be available to mentor folks and finding ways to connect people. But that whole aspect of recruitment, as well as the inheritance part about that passing down, what are we passing down to our kids? There's a lot wrapped up in there, and it's really important. It's extremely important. I think that we're all concerned about these legacy type issues, and it's probably part of the American dream. Is how do we take what we've contributed to and pass that along? So there's not an answer there, but it's really an important point to be thinking about.
I think we just barely touched on we'll be having a task force, right? What do you foresee about a task force, Marcus? Where are we on that to further develop the Ag Initiative? Because that group would really be looking at some of these policies.
Yeah, so let me take a step back. So in rolling out the idea of a Kenai Peninsula Agricultural Initiative, one of the early steps was to take conversations that had happened that I'd been a part of and hearing what people were interested in and compiling that all into what I call a white paper. A white paper is just basically the framework as a policy document where the policy has not been adopted yet. It's just a splash of ideas on a sheet of paper that people can look at and have conversations around. That led to some work that's been done over the last few months is having meetings with soil and water conservation districts in the Kenai and Homer, meeting with the Farm Bureau, attending the Friday coffee that Heidi puts on with the Soil and Water Conservation District, and just being really engaged in conversations. From that, this policy document, the white paper, was really focused around the idea of rolling out an agricultural leasing program. The idea of making a buffet of lands available through a contract structure that tries to provide what folks need in order to start up an operation and then taking it from there. From the conversations, there was repeated feedback about we want to have an agricultural sale option. We want ownership. And a lot of that inheritance piece is tied into that, you know, to have a long-term stake in what that investment is and to be able to make decisions about where it goes in the future. Really important idea there. And so that caused me to recognize that I need to have another white paper on that approach, looking for these ideas that can build the right approaches that meet folks where they're at and bring folks to where they want to go. The other aspect of that was the need for, there's some decisions that are involved in here that are long-term decisions, and they need to be approached well, and that they're choices that shouldn't be on the back of any one person to make, and that that the idea of having a focus group, having a task force. So we've seen, for instance, at the Kenai Peninsula Borough right now, there's a task force on material sites, taking that kind of idea and putting a focus group on agricultural land programming. And that's really, from my point of view, what it's going to take to navigate through how to put together a land programming that is going to work well for individuals that would participate in that and is going to work well for the public accountability that goes into how do you manage public resources in a way that meets the goals and meets the expectations.
And I think in a group like that, ideally the task force has very broad participation from people with different expertise, and I'd particularly like to see some of our experienced farmers taking part, because they've got the experience of figuring this out they've already gone through this process of picking land and developing it. They know what it takes. We've seen, just having come from this Alaska Food Conference, I heard yet more inspiring stories of young farmers in particular who started with a garden and then leased borrowed land and then, eventually, got low interest loans and have purchased their land. And there's something to learn from all of their experience as well. So I really look forward to the conversations that would take place on a task force. And as far as reducing some of these barriers to entry, it isn't just land. There's capital and there's training and there's the equipment that you need. And so some ideas that are floating around we're in a very small state. So any innovation that's happening somewhere else in the state is something that we can benefit from here. So we need to make sure that as people, there's a desire for effective farm training. Well, we have some small farm training programs in the state, and we need to make sure that those are working well together and with the university system, and that we're making best use of these beginning farmer rancher development funds that are available to provide good training. Another you know, this parallel to the Borough Ag Initiative, we have the Alaska Farmland Trust that's working hard to preserve farmlands. They're focused in the Mat-Su Valley, but you know, they're also willing to work here on the Kenai Peninsula with existing farms. And what they're doing to help with this generational transition, which could apply really even here on the Peninsula, is something called the Farm Link program. And if you're a farmer who loves your land, but you don't happen to have a kid who wants to take it on and keep it in farming, the Farm Link program is where you could create a profile. It's an online matching service. And there is no shortage of well-trained young people in this country. They might not be in Alaska right now. I know they're here and they're elsewhere.
There are certainly some here, yeah.
Yeah, no, they're absolutely. Yeah. That was a slip of the tongue. But no, the FarmLink program is designed to match the young person looking for land with the experienced farmer who's looking for somebody who wants to keep it farming rather than sell it off into housing developments.
Yeah, that's I hadn't heard of that before, but that's an interesting use of sort of technology and social media in this realm that I hadn't really thought much about before. You know, we've got we're kind of winding down here to just about the last six or so minutes. You know, I'm curious for both of you. I like to end shows like this for whatever reason with kind of a bigger question. I'm curious for both of you who spend a lot of time thinking about agricultural policy, land policy, the way we interact with the land and use the land. For both of you, what do you see happening, or what would you like to see happen, or what's your sort of vision over the next 10 or so years of how agriculture develops on the Kenai? What are some keys to making it happen, perhaps the way you see it happening? If that's a big enough question to tackle in just a couple of minutes.
Go for it, Marcus.
Thank you. And I'm going to try to take this from the approach of my work at the Kenai Peninsula Borough as a land manager.
Yeah, right.
And I'm going to try to keep it in that scope because recognizing that it's just a small piece of a much larger puzzle. What my goal would be is that the borough continues on with this conversation and looks at how we can take this question of how do we take lands that are designated for agriculture and achieve long-term agricultural production from those lands. And where I think that that's valuable, on one end, it's in, yes, this implementation of, okay, now we have 700 acres in new ag. That's great. The goal that we've outlined in the white paper is to have 4,000 acres of borough lands designated for agriculture and rolled out into the hands of folks that are going to be doing those operations. That's not the top and bottom of agriculture on the Kenai Peninsula. What my hope would be is that over the next 10 years, that from that, there's a bit of a demonstration, and it shows other landowners. So here the borough is just a landowner. Looking at other landowners, having a way for other landowners to look at how they might consider the use of their lands and how they could make choices themselves on their own lands, or how they could partner up with other folks that might be interested in doing something on their land and entering into agreements. And there's a wide array of opportunities, and just to kind of show that part of land ownership includes thinking about ways in which you can achieve your goals. And part of that is working with other people that might know a little bit more than you do, which is certainly the case for me.
And Heidi, I'll switch that question over to you.
Just a vision for 10 years from now.
Yeah, what does it look like and how do we get there?
Well, in 2012, we at Kenai Soil and Water, we envisioned that by 2018, we would have twice the number of viable farm businesses.
Did we get there?
We did.
Nice.
We did. You know, people do not go into farming to make big bucks, but if they can sustain themselves, if they can make a living doing meaningful work and provide a healthy product for us, and you know, involve their neighbors in that work, that is valuable all by itself. So viable farm businesses, yes. So 10 years from now, I expect to see another doubling of that number. I would like to see a big, central, thriving farmers market in our area rather than many small markets. I think that's better for the customers and better for the farmers. I hope that our peony growers, instead of exporting or growing, selling $1 million of peonies in a year, will be selling, if current rate of growth, they could be selling in Alaska $20 million a year in peonies.
Yeah.
And really, we could have a strong regional brand, the Kenai Peninsula grown. They've got Golden Heart grown now in Fairbanks. I would just come from Washington State. Every county has its own branded agricultural products, and they take great pride in that. We haven't talked at all about our kelp farming, but man, that's that kelp and oyster farming and all of that.
Yeah, we've been focused so much on the land side, yes, of things for the last hour that there's this whole other world just offshore. That's right.
Yeah, and we should have a mobile meat processing unit so that this whole trek up to Palmer isn't necessary, and we can have USDA certified meat produced right here on the peninsula. And that we continue to see a lot more of the very exciting connections, like the year-round hydroponic grower selling their microgreens to the bakery that puts it on their sandwiches, you know, to the, you know, all of that kind of connection.
Yes, connecting. So what I'm hearing is a lot of a need for connecting dots, communication, cooperation. These seem to be the real keys in taking what's here now and trying to expand on it, make it more sustainable for the future.
That, and I would also love to see that, as in other parts of the state, that our economic development decision making, not just here at the lands office, but in general, takes agriculture seriously as a contributor, not only to the economy, but to our quality of life.
Well, again, we're just about out of time this morning, and I want to thank everyone who called in. Sorry we couldn't squeeze in that last caller here at the end. But again, Marcus Mueller, Kenai Peninsula Borough Land Manager, thank you so much for being with us this morning, Marcus.
And thanks for having this conversation today.
Very welcome. And Heidi Che from the Kenai Soil and Water Conservation District, thank you so much, Heidi, for being in with us this morning.
Thank you, Shailen. It was a blast.